hydrogen transport is definitely a future and rising way to decarbonize the transport industry, which is a serious contributor to CO2 emissions. Aviation has been deemed to be one of the hard to decarbonize sectors when it comes to transport. Recently, ZeroAvia has successfully launched a demonstrator flight with a plane that is fueled by hydrogen. This opens a lot of questions as to the future of aviation when it comes to utilizing the zero carbon fuel. My name is Jake Stones, and I'm an energy market reporter for ICIS, and I'm joined by Julian Renz, Business Development Manager for ZeroAvia. Welcome, Julian.
Hi, Jake. Thanks for the invitation.
No worries at all. So just to kick things off, would you be able to tell me about ZeroAvia and your role in helping hydrogen planes take flight?
Yeah, of course. So we at ZeroAvia, we see ourselves really as the first practical zero emission aviation company. And what that means is essentially, if you can think about it in three ways, right? Like one is we want to work on a solution that both has applications now, today, with today's level of technology, but that can also scale into the future to larger and larger aircraft. And we think that that solution is hydrogen electric propulsion. So what that means is that we essentially integrate a system that takes hydrogen that we store on board of the aircraft. We convert that hydrogen in what's called a fuel cell system with oxygen from the air into electricity. And then with that electricity, we run the electric motors that then spin the propellers. And that is the most practical way because it both has an application in the very near term. We hope to actually fly passengers by the end of 2023 on 19-seat aircraft. But it is also a technology that can scale to the A320s and narrowbody aircraft of the world that every one of us is used to, you know, the kind of airplanes that EasyJet and Ryanair and so on fly.
Nice. So you've obviously discussed now that it's a fuel cell rather than an electric or battery powered aircraft. Obviously, the electricity would be generated from fuel cell, but instead of battery technology. What is the difference then when it comes to utilizing a fuel cell or utilizing a battery for an aircraft? Is there a difference in feasibility and capacity, or would you be able to just go into that a bit more for us?
Yeah, I'm happy to do so. Because that is really, as we founded the company around 3 years ago, that was essentially the one question that we asked ourselves first. Is, you know, I just mentioned that we wanted to be the first practical zero emission powertrain company. So in order to be practical, right, you have to have a solution that does work now and in the future. And the problem that we saw with batteries from a very early stage on is that essentially the energy they carry per kilogram of battery was just not high enough to ever power something like an Airbus A320. Hydrogen, on the other hand, right, has about four times higher energy density, even if you use gaseous hydrogen. And if you move to liquid hydrogen at some point, you can multiply that by another factor of 10. And this really fundamental difference in the energy you can carry per kilogram of hydrogen versus per kilogram of battery is the reason why we think that hydrogen electric will be the future of aviation and not battery electric.
Fair enough. You mentioned in the future moving towards liquid hydrogen. Obviously, hydrogen has an incredibly low liquefying temperature. Is that something that you have ideas for overcoming, or is this a problem that you're still kind of working on?
So we see the path forward very, very much being two ways split, if you will. We think initially, and for these, you know, up to 20-seat aircraft that I was mentioning earlier, we think we will be using gaseous hydrogen to power those. And that is because the energy density of gaseous hydrogen is high enough, and a 19-seat aircraft, you know, requires low enough energy amount and has enough space to do all that with gaseous hydrogen. The problem with gaseous hydrogen is that it just requires too much volume to ever be really practical for the, you know, large narrow-body aircraft of this world. And for that, you will have to use liquid hydrogen just to get the volume down in line with something that's actually practical. Now, liquid hydrogen today is used in the space industry mainly. Yep. So we can absolutely draw from that technology development and learn from the space industry and how to store liquid hydrogen, which, as you said, is going to be a cryogenic liquid. So it's very, very low temperatures, less than minus 250 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. And these learnings we can take to then also make it safe for aviation.
Interesting. When it comes to purity then of the hydrogen, obviously fuel cells require quite high purity level for of hydrogen in order to work. Does this mean that ZeroAvia is sort of focusing on green hydrogen production, which is obviously made via an electrolyzer and that's got a high purity, versus blue hydrogen from steam or also methane reforming? So do you see it more of a green hydrogen future, at least for the aviation industry?
So you're absolutely right, right? Like fuel cells need a higher purity of hydrogen as opposed to some of the industrial use cases. However, right, you can reach that same level of purity no matter if you produce the hydrogen, you know, if you produce green, blue, or gray hydrogen. The reason why we think actually green hydrogen, as you said, will be the dominant way of producing it is because we think it will have by far the best economics going forward. We think that producing on-site at airports is really the way to go, and you can do that best by using electrolyzers at airports. You shave off the transport cost of hydrogen, which is quite a large chunk in today's cost. And we think that the typical reason why you wouldn't do on-site electrolysis, which is the lack in scale, is actually not true in the airport context. Like airports are really perfect hubs for hydrogen use, if you think about them, because not only do you have aircraft flying in and out, which in themselves, right, they are the largest users of hydrogen you're probably going to have in the transport context. Just to give you an example, even a relatively small aircraft, like a 20-seat aircraft, is going to consume roughly 100 kilos of hydrogen for, you know, standard 300-mile flight, as opposed to that kind of a bus, for example, only stores about 15 to 20 kilos of hydrogen. So that just gives you already an idea of the scale of each single airplane. And then, of course, at an airport, you do not only have the airplanes taking off, you also typically have buses that run on the airport. You have buses that run between the airport and the city. You typically have very good highway infrastructure towards an airport. So you could, you know, fuel trucks as well from that same production facility. And all of that really means that, you know, you get that scale at an airport much, much easier than you would get in any of the other hydrogen uses in transport, really.
Interesting. And that reminds me of a project at Zeebrugge, which speaks exactly to this point of location and suitability of how hydrogen can be distributed out, by just saying, because it's a port. So obviously you're going to have vessels arriving there by nature, but then you have all the trucks that are arriving there to take the cargoes for land transportation. It's a very similar concept to what you're alluding to here when it comes to, or suggesting here, when it comes to airports, is that they bring all of these different modes of transportation together and therefore become ideal fueling points. And no, that was really interesting. Thank you for that. Moving forward to ZeroAvia and what you've achieved recently is the demonstrator flight itself. Now, you said that you were formed 3 years ago. Does that mean it took around 3 years to get this concept, well, from the ground and then taking off? Or was there further research in the background prior to the formation of the company?
So, yes, yeah, so we are a three-year-old company. And the first time that we flew, and back then it was in battery electric power, is actually already 1.5 years ago. That was in California, where we were founded. We then relocated most parts of the company to the UK roughly 1 year ago. So that is really, right, the timeline that it has taken us is this past year, essentially. Prior to that, it's been a lot of development work and conceptual work. Now, in this past year, really, is when we have done the modifications to the aircraft, when we have fitted it with the fuel cell system, when we've tested it on the ground, both statically and dynamically. And then, yeah, as you said, we just flew 3 weeks ago, and now we have the largest hydrogen electric aircraft in the air.
Nice. So, as we mentioned, the larger aircrafts are in the pipeline. How long do you think it could be until we see these larger aircrafts, such as the EasyJet and the Ryanair ones that we're also commonly familiar with, taking off?
That's a million-dollar question, really, in the aviation industry at the moment. What we know and what we are working on is to get the technology we have on the 6-seater at the moment ready to also power 9-to-19-seat aircraft. And we know that we can have that commercially available by the end of 2023. So that is our first step. We also know that fundamentally the technology can power larger aircraft. So, you know, we talk about these EasyJet, Ryanair, typical aircraft. And we believe that, you know, by the end of the decade, you can actually power those also with a hydrogen-based propulsion system. And by now, within the last 3 months, 4 months or so, it is not only us believing in that. Most recently, Airbus, for example, has announced that they actually believe in that vision too, and that they think that they can power an Airbus A320 on hydrogen by 2030, 2035 as well. So fitting that timeline pretty much.
Interesting. Following on from that, then obviously industry seems, well, keen is evident because we just need to be in order to achieve net zero ambitions. But aware is another very important thing when you reference Airbus, for example. Industry is looking in the right direction. What about government support? Do you think that governments are in need of lending more support to the hydrogen revolution, or are you seeing the right things at the right times?
I think there is a huge difference in governments across the world. I think the UK is a real leader when we talk about government support for decarbonizing aviation as a whole. I think no government outside the UK has put up such an ambitious target, and that is kind of underlined also by things like the Jet Zero Council that the Prime Minister has established recently, with the target of both flying a narrowbody aircraft without emissions and actually flying transatlantic without emissions by 2030, and, you know, then earlier in that next decade as well, with the long distance flight. So I think in terms of that kind of support, the UK is really leading. We have also seen other European countries especially really step up their support for hydrogen and for hydrogen aviation particularly. The French government has announced something like 1.5 billion euros to support Airbus in this development of such a hydrogen powered aircraft. The French government also has crucially actually restricted their government aid to Air France. So that they have to meet certain environmental targets and that they have to release some of their routes that are shorter than 500 miles to make them more attractive to train travelers. However, now, if you think about it, right, if you had a solution to fly zero emissions on these routes less than 500 nautical miles long, you know, I'm sure we could be flying those routes instead. Mm. So that's really interesting incentives that governments provide. And then, you know, Germany has a hydrogen roadmap. The European Union, of course, has a very strong ambition in terms of green growth at the moment. And generally, Europe is leading the pack here, as opposed to places like, you know, the United States of America, where I would say federal support is far from where it should be.
Nice. Well, it seems that you've definitely set up in the right place and having moved to your location to the UK and then obviously operating in Europe. That's a really interesting take on it. Obviously, when looking at things like incentivizing people to use rail transportation for less than 500 mile flights or 500 mile distance of travel, do you then see that, as you mentioned, the net zero ambitions of hydrogen flight could keep planes in the air for different durations of journey? What kind of demand basis do you think you can see coming over the next few years then as we start to build up hydrogen aviation technology?
Yeah, that's another very, very good, very good question, actually, Jake, because obviously the aviation industry at the moment is in huge distress, right? Just today, Ryanair has announced that they're going to cancel their winter flying plans down to, I think, 40% of what they were flying last year. And really, thanks to the pandemic, you know, nobody really knows how long it's going to last. And aviation is one of the hardest hit sectors in terms of just, you know, how it is impacted overall. There's a few interesting trends, though, within aviation. I think one interesting trend is that smaller aircraft are generally preferred. And I'm saying that not only, you know, for the large airlines that, you know, maybe fly a 100-seat aircraft now instead of a 200-seat aircraft, just because demand is not there, but also the one sector of aviation that is actually seeing growth is the, you know, traditionally like business aviation, small, you know, up to 20 seat aircraft. So that's really quite an interesting one. The second interesting piece in terms of demand for air travel is that as we will be ready for commercial air travel on our with our aircraft by the end of 2023, that's about the timeline that most people see aviation actually, you know, properly recovering again. So what we hope, of course, is that they will recover in a green manner. And if you then look at longer term projections, right, I think, and you mentioned the question with rail travel, I think if people have the chance to fly zero emission aircraft on routes that are, you know, 300, 500 miles, that can actually be really beneficial for air travel, because there is a lot of routes of 300, 500 miles that traveling those routes with train just takes a lot longer than flying them. And I think generally, right, the increase in air travel over the past years has shown us that there is definitely a demand for flying.
That does lead on to what was going to be my last question, as you were talking about the pandemic itself and then the potential recovery from it. I mean, lots of industries are speaking about building back green. The energy industry as a whole is definitely talking about focusing its attention to greener technologies. Do you see now is a good time for the aviation industry to be rebuilding green, and then is hydrogen definitely going to be the thing that they should be focusing on when it comes to those efforts following the coronavirus pandemic?
So look, I think the aviation industry, in order to really reach net zero emissions by, you know, 2050 is kind of, at the moment, right, in the aviation industry, 2050 net zero is not even the official target. The official target is still 50% lower emissions compared to a 2019 baseline until 2050. I think first, right, we have to actually set ourselves a target to hit net zero. And the second question is how do we reach that target? And I think there's different things we have to do now coming out of the pandemic to achieve that. The first one is certainly increase research and development in technologies that can actually offer a zero emission solution, like hydrogen electric aviation. What we then can do, and that, you know, it's not only the R&D actually, it's also support from governments to fund their certification agencies better. So that's both EASA in Europe, you know, the UK CAA, it's the FAA. All those institutions need the funding so that they can actually cope with the influx of demand from all the new technology developers like ourselves. So that's the first thing that we need to do. The second thing we need to do is ensure that governments incentivize then airlines also picking up those new solutions. And they can do that with various measures, right? Like the one most obvious one is what France did with Air France. But there is other ways to incentivize airlines to use low carbon technologies. And that is something that I would see coming from the governments as well. The second thing, and that's what industry needs to figure out, is how far can technologies like hydrogen electric or hydrogen combustion reach? Because to today, there is a common understanding that, you know, the narrow body and the smaller narrow body market for sure can be propelled using hydrogen electric systems. So the kind of systems that we are working on. But if you look at the real long range and really large aircraft, right? So think about the kind of aircraft that you would fly from London to New York, London to Los Angeles, these kind of routes. It's usually really large aircraft and they fly really long distances. And in the foreseeable future, I think we will require what's called synthetic aviation fuels to support those. Those synthetic aviation fuels, they can be bio-based, but they can also be power-based. And when I talk about power-based synthetic aviation fuels, that means, you know, you capture CO2 from the air and you produce hydrogen through electrolysis. And you combine those into a synthetic fuel. So again, right, hydrogen plays a key role there, because the lower the cost of hydrogen, the cheaper those synthetic aviation fuels would be. But that is another area that, you know, we haven't covered now in the last 15, 20 minutes. but that's an area where, at least for the long distance flying, that's kind of where a green recovery could start taking place sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that was an incredibly detailed answer. Thank you for that, because it wasn't the easiest of questions. I'd be very keen to see what other governments start to do. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there definitely needs to be more of a step from governments, a bit more clarity on what they would like coming in the future. So I think a good comparison is the UK government saying that they don't want to permit the sale of petrol or diesel cars from 2035, I think the current target is. They might be refining it sooner. Something like that could be needed to sort of kick the aviation industry, or not kick, but encourage the aviation industry into a similar shift in pattern. So that was really good. Thank you. That was my last question, but it has been incredibly interesting speaking to you and learning about the prospects for hydrogen and aviation. It's particularly interesting to hear the 2023 goal. That is not far away at all. Thank you for joining us, and best of luck with reaching that goal. It's going to be incredibly motivating to see that kind of achievement occur.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation, Jake, again. And we need all the support we can get, right, to reach that goal for sure. And so if anybody wants to reach out, we are here.
Exactly. If you would like to speak to Julian, please feel free to make contact him via the Zero Avia website. And if you want to find out more about hydrogen or hydrogen podcasts, please feel free to visit icrs.com. Thank you very much, and speak to you soon.